Today, we were supposed to talk about life on mission, and we were going to have one of our missionary couples come and be with us today, but their schedule was hindered by some events, and so they're going to be coming in a couple of weeks. So we're going to talk today about forgiveness and how we can be a community of forgiveness. And when you hear the word forgiveness, everybody, it's a pretty charged word, especially if you've ever been told that you have to forgive somebody. It can tick you right off. And am I right? My children never liked it. But I remember a conversation that I was involved in years ago. And I'm not going to mention the person's name, but there was an elder, Ron, who was together. No, I'm going to mention Ron's name because he wasn't part of the problem. I was. Anyways, there was an issue over $1,000 between myself and someone else. And the issue really wasn't the $1,000, but the issue was my inability or desire to try and communicate and resolve a situation. And so this person who was a lot wiser than me said, you know what, why don't we sit down with Ron and have a conversation and see if we can't work this out. And so we sat down, and Ron led us through a process of just expressing what was going on. And in the end, we engaged. I apologized for my behavior and how the way I dealt with it did not heal the situation. And there was always an intent to pay the $1,000, but that was not sure of. And so there was this process of dialogue, of repentance, of forgiveness, and then restitution, where the money was paid, but more than that, the relationship was healed. And sometimes you think, oh, pastors, they don't have broken relationships, right? But we do. And forgiveness is as much needed in my life as I hope it's needed in yours. And when we say forgiveness, it is a hard word. It doesn't come easy sometimes. For some of us, maybe just because of your life experience, you're like, yeah, forgiveness, I can forgive anybody. It's pretty easy. For others, forgiveness is this hard slog through the mud. What do you mean you want me to forgive? Do you realize what you've done to me? I don't know how I can forgive. Some of us have heard the line over the years, you just need to get past it. Or you need to get over it. And some of us, like I have done with my kids, someone hits the other person, right? And you go, okay, you just hit your sibling. What are you going to do? I'm sorry. And the other, and what do you need to do? I forgive you. It is a little forced and coerced, but sometimes that's how we need to learn these things in order to be healthy adults. So sometimes it's forced on us, even as adults. And forgiveness is still a very relevant topic in our culture. And one of the places where I've seen it a lot lately is in movies and TV. Whoever's doing the writing for their show has some concept of what forgiveness means and how badly our culture needs it. And so I'm going to throw out a little quiz for you. Shout out if you know what show it's from, okay? Just a heads up, you're never going to get it. Here's the first one. To forgive is an act of compassion. It's not done because people deserve it. It's done because they need it. What? Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You weren't expecting that, were you? Forgiveness liberates the soul. It removes fear. That's why it's such a powerful weapon. That one is from the movie Invictus, Nelson Mandela. Here's one, another deep one. Why don't you try some of that forgiveness that Jesus talked so much about? Somebody heard that one? That was Kitty Foreman, the 70s show. Somewhere you're like, what is that? It's funny. Here's one. I know human beings. They're all stopping over with compassion and forgiveness. They can't wait to absolve almost any offense. It's an inherent weakness of the breed. Any guesses? It is Star Trek. You win. That was Q from Star Trek, if you're a Trekkie. Huh? Now it's like, oh yeah, that guy. So annoying. But how are you with the word forgiveness? Where do you come out with it? And today I want to give us permission. We're not going to gloss over it. We're not going to make light of it. We're not going to make you feel guilty about it. Because the reality is, the deeper the sin, and I'm calling it sin, the process of forgiveness sometimes can take longer and be more severe. I mean, you don't have to forgive someone, you know, who brings you the wrong sandwich or puts cream in your coffee. That's not a sin. That's a mistake. And sometimes we elevate some of those, just those things that we overlook, and we elevate them to a sin issue. But those are some things we can just overlook. It isn't a slight against you. Someone's not being vindictive against you unless you mistreated your host. And this is where I think of Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. It talks about, as Paul was talking to some people, he said, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." And sometimes we mess up in ways that they're not sin, but they might irritate somebody. I know I irritate people sometimes, but that doesn't mean it's sin. So we're humble with each other, we're patient, and we try to bear with one another in love. But sin, lying to your spouse, lusting after someone, stealing, cheating, rape, murder, anger, pride, and I can go on. Those are sins. Those are things where people say, "I don't need you, God, in this. I can do what I want. And who cares what you think?" And the deeper those sins are that happen against us, the harsher they were, the more violent they were emotionally or physically or both, in general, the harder they are to forgive. And the process of forgiveness takes way longer. And when we say, "You just need to get over it," we do injustice to the whole meaning of biblical forgiveness. So what does it look like for God to forgive us? In Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." In Colossians 3:13, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." So reading those passages, it's saying, as the Lord forgave you. So how did the Lord forgive us? Well, the disciples had questions about forgiveness also. And one day Peter went up to Jesus to ask him, "What does this mean for, you know, what does this forgiveness mean for me in my day-to-day relationships?" And in Matthew 18, it says this, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And according to some Jewish traditions, a brother or sister was forgiven three times for the same offense. The fourth time, however, you didn't have to forgive them anymore.' Wouldn't that have been great?" Like, nope, that was your three. Peter thought that he was being generous by offering up seven. And then Jesus turns it all on its head. And he tells this story. He said, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." And something we need to know today is that God, and I'm talking to people who say, "Yeah, I follow Jesus." This is what he says. God expects his followers to forgive sins the same way he has forgiven us. And this goes all the way back to the beginning. We all need forgiveness because all of us have sinned against God. Adam and Eve were placed in a perfect situation, in a perfect relationship with each other and with God. They were God's representatives on earth and given responsibility over everything that God had created. But they became discontent with their situation. And they believed a lie about God. So they chose a path where they said, "You know what? We're going to live independent of God." And God said, "You know what? I don't want you to eat from this one tree." And they did it, called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they did that, they broke their relationship with God. And all of humanity followed in that. And there's a penalty for that sin, for that brokenness. There's a penalty that has to be paid. Because we're all under the wrath of God. Death and eternity in hell. Because God does not want to force people who haven't chosen him in this life to be forced to live with him in eternity. And so we were powerless to do anything about this problem. God was, he wasn't powerless. He stepped in. It says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, it's not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." God let my sin, let your sin, push Christ to the cross to die for that sin. God's in control of the whole process. Why does he do it? Because of his extravagant love. The Bible says the mountains and hills, they may crumble, but my love for you will never end. So says the Lord who loves you. God's love will never end. And there's two characteristics that really make God's love so much different than ours. God's love is constant. It's never going to end. God's not fickle. He's not unpredictable in how he gives his love. Most of us, we've all experienced some levels of incredible love, but for the most part, it's an inconsistent thing in our lives, in our relationships with each other. But God says, "My love for you is never going to change." Second thing is God's love is unconditional. It's not based on my performance. It's not based on me measuring up. It's, as human beings, sometimes we try to give the, we, you know, we say, "Yeah, I got unconditional love for my children." Well, sometimes I don't, right? If I'm honest, sometimes with my friends, I don't have unconditional love for them because I'm broken inside. I can't express it all the time. But God says to you, "I love you, period. No conditions, no qualifiers, just in my grace." You don't have to ask, "Did I do the right things? Is God going to love me now, you know, because I had a quiet time or because I came to church today?" His love isn't conditioned on our performance. That's grace. There is an Irish priest just walking along the road, and he saw a peasant kneeling down to pray just on the side of the road. And he said to this peasant, he said, "You must be very close to God." And the peasant looked up at him with a thoughtful look on his face, and he said, "Yes, he's very fond of me." You can say that. In Christ, God is very fond of you. God says in Christ, I am acceptable. I am valuable. I'm lovable. Even when I don't feel lovely. And when it comes to his forgiveness, God's forgiveness is amazingly gracious and generous and extravagant. But it isn't free. In 1 John 4:10, it says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." An atoning sacrifice here means turning away from wrath. Christ paid the penalty for my sin, for your sin. That penalty was death. I deserved it, and Christ took it on himself. And he turned away God's wrath by giving his own life. And while God's forgiveness is amazing and something we don't deserve, there is a condition attached to it. Only someone who repents of their sin is saved from God's wrath. Acts 20:21, speaking to a group of believers, one follower of Jesus said, "I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." You know, that whole idea where God doesn't want anybody in eternity with him who doesn't choose him in this life? Well, if you choose him, if you're going like, "I want that," then the step is repentance. And repentance simply means regret over a former way of living. And in this case, it's the sin that separates us from God. And turning to a new way of living that pursues a right relationship with God. And it sets in motion a process where right now we are reconciled to God, and during our lifetime we understand what that looks like. And in this story that Jesus was telling, the master was God. This was a debt. It could never be paid, not in 1,000 lifetimes. But the man came and repented, and he offered restitution. He said, "I'll pay it back. Just give me time." And so the master said, "You know what? I don't need restitution. I forgive it." So if that is what God's forgiveness looks like, how should it look like between us? Because this passage isn't dealing with God's forgiveness as much as it's how we extend forgiveness to each other. So how thorough is this forgiveness that we're required to extend? In Luke 17, starting at verse 3, Jesus was talking about forgiveness in another situation. And he said, "If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." That four strikes rule seems pretty attractive right now, doesn't it? That seems really severe. The same thing over and over again. And some of us, when we hear a passage like that, we start to go, well, what they're saying there then is, I just have to just forgive and no consequences. But it's not saying that. And sometimes we go, you know what, well, I apologized. How can you still be upset about that? That's the attitude of an emotional infant. But this first servant in the story didn't understand the forgiveness he'd been given. He abused it. And the amount owed to him was way less than what was owed to the master. And yet he couldn't forgive that debt. And so when we read this passage and we think about forgiveness and all of the sort of the platitudes maybe we've heard throughout the years from different Christian sayings and stuff like that, we need to start understanding what forgiveness isn't. It isn't minimizing the seriousness of the offense. It's not saying, you know what, it's no big deal. Really didn't hurt. Don't worry about it. One of the first things I do nowadays with couples who are looking to get married is I ask them, "Have you ever apologized to each other? Have you ever said sorry?" And then I ask a harder question. "Have you ever said, 'I forgive you'?" Because those are real. I had to learn that. When I was first married to Lisa, I didn't want to say, "I forgive you." And it wasn't that I I didn't have this attitude of forgiveness is that those words of saying, I forgive you, were just way too intimate for me to say out loud, and my pride kept it bottled down. And over the process of, 24 years now? Hey, I can say I forgive you really easily. And I mean it. And I did in my heart then, but sometimes you got to verbalize it for it to be a healthy resolution to things. And the truth is, if it's worth forgiving, if it was a sin, and that person repented, and it's worth forgiving that person, what's always worth forgiving that person, it did hurt you. It did cause pain. And you don't need to minimize it, because that's not part of forgiveness. Forgiveness is saying, yes, it did hurt. Yes, it did cause pain in my life, but I'm going to forgive you. I'm not going to hold it against you. Another thing forgiveness isn't, it's not resuming a relationship without change. And when I think of forgiveness, and this is something you need to understand when I'm talking about it, in my own head how I've worked through it in Scripture, is forgiveness, repentance, reconciliation, they're all combined together. You can't separate them in true biblical forgiveness. With God, without repentance of sin and the extending of forgiveness, in that process of reconciliation, it's incomplete. And with us, sometimes, actually all the time, I think, if there's no repentance, how can forgiveness even start to be extended? And I know in psychology and stuff like that, sometimes there are comments, you know what, you need to just forgive that person. You can't resolve the situation here, you need to forgive. And you know, I'm good with that language. Words have different meaning in different contexts. It's a way to go, I'm out of control of this situation. I can't control it. I'm letting it go because there's not going to be resolution. So I'm okay with that there. But in a biblical sense, as a community of believers, there is a pattern. And so it's not always resuming the relationship without changes. Forgiveness isn't the same as saying, okay, we're going to go back to normal now. You did that to me. You repented. I forgive you. Everything's fine. That's not healthy. Sometimes, like with boys on the playground, you can do it this way, right? A boy hits another boy. They're upset with each other for those 30 seconds. Playground supervisor comes up, you need to apologize for hitting Jimmy. I'm sorry, Jimmy. Jimmy, you need to forgive Paul. I forgive you, Paul. And then they're best friends, right? I've seen it happen on playgrounds. I've seen it happen with teenage boys. And that's not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. Sometimes we don't need to process things that deeply. There was still a sin committed. There was a violent act committed there. But the boys said, okay, we can move past it. But sometimes when it's a deep sin, when it's a violent sin emotionally or physically, there has to be a boundary created. Forgiveness takes care of the damage. It's saying, I'm agreeing not to hold this offense against them. But it does not guarantee there's a relationship that's going to be the same moving forward. Those are other issues, and it takes more than forgiveness for reconciliation to happen. If you want to have a restored relationship with someone, first comes repentance, someone acknowledging that they sinned against you. And then comes an offer of restitution. How can I make this right? And like the king did, sometimes God gives us the strength in our hearts to go, I don't need you to do anything to make it right. I forgive you. But sometimes there does need to be restitution. Sometimes there are consequences that can be severe. But there is a pattern in the Bible of repentance, restitution, and then rebuilding trust. And sometimes rebuilding trust, because of the nature of the hurt, it isn't possible. Paul said, you know, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And in our human frailty, sometimes that's not possible. The Holy Spirit can do amazing things, but sometimes it's just too deep of hurt. And so we have to create a boundary. in the relationship with the hope at some point that maybe that boundary can be taken down. I'm in a broken relationship right now with someone, one where the process of forgiveness isn't complete. And sometimes it makes me feel like a failure. And at first it did all the time. Because reconciliation's not possible at this point. But I haven't given up hope. And when I think about the situation, I give it to God. And I say, God, I know at some point you're going to make this right. And I'm hoping in that. And it doesn't weigh me down. It doesn't burden me. It doesn't cause me grief. But I have hope that it's going to happen. And for right now, I just wait. And so in a sense, there's forgiveness in that situation, but it's not a complete forgiveness. Because if there's no repentance, then the process of forgiveness can't start. Only a boundary can be set. So you have the freedom. If someone has sinned against you, and they are not repentant of it, you don't have to keep being in a relationship with them. You can say and give it to God in a healthy way and process it with people around you. But to extend forgiveness to that person without first having repentance can damage your soul. And it's hard. And this is messy. This is all messy, folks. We're people in a church. And relationships can get messy. But you need the freedom when someone says you just need to forgive to say, no, that's not actually true. But you can give it to God. You can say, you know what? I need people's support around me and I need to just surrender this to him every time it comes to my mind. And sometimes you need to process with a counselor or a pastor or a close friend or a group. But if there's no repentance, a boundary needs to be set. And for all of us, we need to recognize we're all broken, we're all frail, we all make mistakes, none of us is perfect, and we need to extend grace to each other in a lot of situations. And when it comes to forgiveness, we always need to be reminded that our forgiveness comes out of God's forgiveness for us. And anything that we have to forgive pales in comparison to what God has to forgive. And we need to remember that and celebrate it and in some ways mature into being able to extend that same forgiveness to others. Another thing we need to do, we need to understand that it's God's job to get even. And I don't want to put that in, that sounds like he's going to, right, smite people. But God said, it's mine to avenge, says the Lord. And he'll repay. And the heart of genuine forgiveness is releasing things and releasing our right to get even. In biblical forgiveness, God released his right to get even with us because of Jesus Christ. And we can do the same thing. But sometimes there are consequences. And that's a reality. Sometimes the sin is so severe that there has to be a consequence. When looking, a biblical example is David and Bathsheba in 2 Samuel. David got Bathsheba pregnant. She was married to another man. And so David had her husband killed in battle. And Nathan the prophet, God brought it to Nathan's mind that he needed to go confront David on this. And so he did. And this was David's response. David said, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You're not going to die. But because by doing this, you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die. So there was a pretty severe consequence for a pretty severe sin. And sometimes we have to be okay with that. Sometimes our sins are severe enough that they warrant a consequence that we might be uncomfortable with. But one of the greatest gifts we can give to our world and to each other is to learn that process of repentance, restitution, and forgiveness. Not with a rigid, this is how you have to do it, but with the same love that Jesus showed us. And when we do that, we will see this community transform, but people are going to start talking about it everywhere. They're so weird there. They forgive each other, like, regularly, 7 times a day. You're just strange. So where do I need to mature in God's forgiveness? And a book to help in that, that I found very useful, is Unpacking Forgiveness by Chris Braun. I'll post it on the website, a link to it on the sermon page. But a mission community is one that practices this kind of forgiveness. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you set in process this whole thing of forgiveness through your son, Jesus. That you loved us so incredibly much that you were willing to sacrifice your own son for the penalty that we deserved. Thank you for that. And God, we pray that you would help us in our own hearts and minds to have courage and strength in extending forgiveness to each other. Not breezing past sin, not looking past it, but dealing with it in a way that honors you and honors each other. Continue to make us into that community. Amen.